Let me invite you to stand and take your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I covenant with Him to study it every day.
I covenant with Him to study it every day.
I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, we approach your throne of grace again with thankfulness in our hearts. We do, Father, want to be like Jesus. And I would ask a blessing for each one present this morning. Be with me as I bring the message. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I will continue in my series dealing with the battle of the mind, and this is presentation number 4, subtitle, God is so good. God is so good. I've been sharing the subject of the battle for the mind with you now for 4 weeks. And I've talked about how important it is to guard our thought life. I want you to understand the role our mind plays in our walk of faith. Your mind, if it is not renewed with God's Word, it becomes an enemy of God. The carnal mind is always contrary to God's Word. And you cannot expect to live a positive, overcoming, victorious Christian life with a negative, worried, anxious mind. Eventually, you become what the Scripture says. Eventually, you will become what you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart or in his mind, so is he. Amen. Ephesians 4:23 says, be constantly renewing the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This text is saying that we should have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. One day, Jesus was in Jerusalem and he was confronted by one of the scribes that asked, what is the most important commandment? Notice how Jesus answered. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first one. But the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now Satan knows if he can influence us, he will affect the way that we think, and he can hold us back from being all that God wants us to be. He can keep us from fulfilling our destiny that God has planned for each one of us. So to begin our study this morning, I'm going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first 4 verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll read to you the first 4 verses. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the plain truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, I want you to pay attention to the God of this world. It says in verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the people who don't believe. Once again, you see, we see that Satan is working in his favorite territory. He is working in the area of our mind.
Yes.
Now, I realize that all of you, or at least most of you, have made a decision that you want to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But we all have friends and family members and loved ones who haven't surrendered their lives to God. They have never accepted that wonderful gift of salvation and basked in the joy of that wonderful experience. So I want to ask you a question this morning. What's holding them back? What's hindering our loved ones? What's hindering our children? What's stopping them? What is their big hang-up anyhow? Why haven't they accepted the Lord? Why haven't they had why don't they have a personal relationship with Him? I believe if we can gain insight into this area, then we can know how to effectively deal with them. So this morning, I want to explore how Satan binds the mind of people that don't believe. So what can we do as believers to keep Satan from binding the minds of those we love? We want to break that power, don't we? Amen? Mankind stands in a precarious position. We are contacted by God every day, and the devil contacts us every day. So we are in the position, we have to make a decision whom we are going to follow, whom we choose to listen to today. You see, we are creatures of choice. God didn't make any of us robots. He gave us all a will of our own. We all have the power to choose.
Yes.
And if we choose to listen to negative thoughts of the enemy, they will lead to defeat and misery and fear, anxiety. Eventually, these thoughts will lead us to eternal death. However, if we choose to listen to the thoughts of God and the voice of God, these thoughts will lead us to life and peace and happiness and joy and eventually eternal life, or to experience eternal life, because we have the assurance of eternal life even now, don't we? Can you see why it's so important that we make the right choice? Not to listen to these negative reports, not to listen to that negative voice, but to listen to the thoughts of God. You see, the enemy, the devil, he bombards our mind with his thoughts all the time. Folks, I want to emphasize how important it is that we should study God's Word, that we would spend time in our Sabbath school lesson, that we would not forsake, the fellowship that we can have with each other. Yeah. Worship, prayer meeting, witnessing. These are ways in which we can have God's thoughts in our mind. Because if you do not know God's thoughts, you're not going to know when the enemy is telling you a falsehood.
That's right.
2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Let me call your attention to the last part of the verse. "For we are not ignorant of his devices." The New International Version says, "For we are not unaware of his schemes." In the Greek language, and this is very interesting, the word for devices or schemes come from the root word that means mind, M-I-N-D. Listen to what I said. In the Greek language, the word devices or schemes comes from the root word mind. Isn't that interesting? Could it be that the Holy Spirit is saying, don't be ignorant because the devil can twist your thoughts? Don't be surprised, their hearts, because the devil will twist Scripture, he will use Scripture to lead you down a wrong path, to get you going in a wrong direction. So don't be ignorant of the strategy of the devil.
Amen.
Satan is a master deceiver. I've seen him deceive people by twisting the Scripture or taking Scripture out of context. He twists their thoughts to believe a lie. He tells them that God is mad at them, that God is out to get them, that God doesn't love them. He uses texts like Psalm 85:5. He takes it out of context, of course. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Now, church, I want you to know that God is not angry with us. In fact, God is not angry at anyone. In fact, the Bible says He is merciful and He is long-suffering. The Bible does not try to prove that God is good, but it provides examples of God's mercy and His grace in action. In Numbers 14:18, it says, the Lord is long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. In the New Testament, he said, basically it says the same thing in 1 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Now, folks, I want you to know that God's everybody, whether you're good or bad, we are all God's children, and He is not willing that any should perish. He would like for all to be saved. He would like for every one of His creation to make a decision to choose to follow in His footsteps, obey and live, disobey and die. Folks, it's easy from Scripture to show that God is not an angry God, but our God is good. It saddens my heart, it saddens me, but Satan can blind the mind with one Scripture if you are not careful. You see, Jesus gave us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel in Mark 16:15. Do you know what the word gospel means? It's good news. The word gospel means good news. It's not good news to tell someone that God is angry with them. It is not good news to tell someone that they are going to hell. Even under the old covenant, God promised He would send a Redeemer. And under the new covenant, we see that promise become a reality. Christ died on the cross for us sinners. He paid the price for us all. And that is good news. All you have to do is accept the forgiveness of God, and out of gratitude now, because of God's grace, we decide to follow in His footsteps. We decide that we would be overcomers. We would be like Jesus. Why? Because the Scripture says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't let Satan bind your mind telling you that God is out to get you. Friends, I want to tell you that God does not have a big stick or a club. He's not walking around heaven with a grin on His face, looking down, trying to find people whom He can punish. God is not like a policeman just strolling through heaven, looking at this world, seeing who he can see that he can throw into hell. In fact, from our Sabbath school lesson this morning, we learned that he is the good shepherd. And what does the good shepherd do for his sheep? He goes out and looks for them. Even those sheep that are wayward or lost, Jesus goes back, or the good shepherd goes out and he tries to bring them back. You see, when people can't trust God, thinking that he is out to get them is nothing more than the fact that the devil had twisted their minds. Satan is binding the mind of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me share the way God works. Scripture says in John 3, verses 16 and 17, and you are acquainted with these verses, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. Now verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn them, to club them to death, but that the world through him might be saved." For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world. He means that he loves every one of us. Yeah. Now we have two sons. And I can't imagine giving one of them to die for some sin or some transgression that someone else has done. But yet God did that for us. He's a good God. He gave his only Son to die for us. That's God's goodness. Amen. Satan also binds our minds by telling us that we aren't good enough. Have you ever heard that lie? You are not good enough to come to God. I've had people say to me, "Pastor, you don't know what kind of life I've lived. If you only knew what I've done, you would never have me to be a part of your church." Or people say, "Pastor, I am not perfect." Now let me ask you something. Were any of you perfect when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No. You come to God just as you are. Given time, you see, Jesus will change you. Let's face it, if we have gotten just justice, we would all be in trouble. But it's not God's justice, it's his mercy. It's God's mercy that lasts from generation to generation. You know another lie that he exposes people to? The devil uses people to influence those who want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. The devil whispers, or people speak using the devil's thoughts. You're just as good as these church people. Why? When the lady's house caught on fire there a few weeks ago, you were there helping, weren't you? These religious people are just a bunch of hypocrites. You're as good as they are. All that religion, all that Christianity, all those smiles, that's just something to fill their emotional needs. It's just a great big hoax. These are lies from the enemy. And he usually tops it off with this. All that the preacher wants, or all that these people want down at that church, is your money. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Church, let me tell you, we can tell them in all honesty, we aren't interested in your money. We are interested in you and your salvation. Don't let the enemy deceive you with these lies. Another lie that the devil uses to bind our mind is, you don't need God. In fact, we are gods ourselves. We've got everything within ourselves, all the power that we need. But nothing could be further from the truth. Without God, we can do nothing.
Right.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. Says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Please notice from these texts that we have something to do. We have to make a choice. Seek the Lord, call upon him, forsake your ways and erroneous thoughts. It's a shame that most people in society live their lives in spiritual blindness. It's almost as if a dark, thick veil has been draped across their thinking so they can't see or can't understand the gospel. It doesn't have to be that way. I've got good news. 2,000 years ago, the resurrected Lord defeated the enemy. He defeated the devil. And with the power of Jesus, that veil can be torn away. Light can be brought into the life of our wayward sons and daughters, our friends who don't know Jesus. All a person has to do is call upon the name of Jesus. Church, we are creatures of choice, and the choice is yours. Scripture says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. There is a beautiful promise found in this particular text. It says, I have set before you, listen to it, I have set before you death, blessings, and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live.
Yeah.
Lord, you promised. You promised, Lord, that me and my seed would live because I chose life. When you choose Jesus to come into your heart, do you know what happens? The Holy Spirit in an instant, he infuses the very life of Christ into you. Scripture says that you are a new creature. You are born again. The darkness that covered your mind for all those years, it had evaporated in a moment by the power of the living God. You see, the choice is ours. Listen to Satan and cast a vote with him, or listen to the Holy Spirit and cast your vote with God. It has all to do with choices that we make. Now listen, I know that you're concerned about your children and loved ones that don't walk with Jesus. They aren't concerned about spiritual things because Satan has blinded their minds. They aren't interested in spiritual things. They don't want to study the Bible. When we talk to them, they say that we're lecturing or we're preaching at them. They won't come to church. What is a parent to do? There is only one power that can break the power of the enemy over us. And that's the name of Jesus. Folks, we are engaged in a warfare, and prayer is one of the weapons that we can use to do battle with the enemy.
Yeah.
Can you remember three other weapons? Prayer is one. Read the scripture. Call upon the name of Jesus. And what was the fourth one?
Sing.
Sing. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Begin to sing. Folks, sing. It drives the devil away. You speak the name of Jesus and he will flee. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted and he sets the captives free. He makes the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Folks, whatever is happening, sing these songs. It'd drive the devil away. From Five Testimonies, page 322, to Fifth Testimonies, page 322, it says, parents have a great and responsible work to do. And they may well inquire, who is sufficient for these things? But God has promised to give wisdom to those that ask in faith, and he will do just as he said he would. He is pleased with the faith that takes him at his word. Now listen to this. The mother of Augustine prayed for the conversion of her son. She saw no evidence that the Spirit of God was impressing his heart, but she was not discouraged. She laid her finger upon the text, presenting before God his own words and pleading only as a mother can. Her deep humiliation, her earnest importunities, her unwavering faith prevailed, and the Lord gave her the desire of her heart. Augustine, one of the founding fathers of Christianity. Today, let me finish the quote. Today, he is just as ready to listen to the petitions of his people. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And if Christian parents seek him earnestly, he will fill their mouths with arguments and for his name's sake will work mightily in their behalf in the conversion of their children. This is good stuff, isn't it? Take hope, their hearts. Use the weapon of prayer against the devil to open the minds of our kids that they would see. In fact, like Isaiah, what was the text? I'll think about it later. Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God and he will freely pardon. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, says our God. The Bible says in Matthew 18:18, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Talking about, you know, I'm talking about our children, our sons and daughters who are wayward. But God is talking about, listen to what God says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish or be lost." Now, look at verse 19. "I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Now, it is in the context, the scripture text is in the context of the lost sheep. It's in the context of the lost sheep. What did the shepherd do? He counted the sheep. There was 99. There was one was missing. He went out and found that little lost sheep and brought him back, rejoicing. So when our sons and daughters are wayward, we can pray where a mother and a father shall agree on earth. And they ask God, He will do for them. He will answer their prayers. From My Life Today, page 15, it says, "It is a part of God's plan to grant us, in answer to the prayer of faith, that which He would not bestow, that which He would not bestow, did we not ask." God knows everything. But we have to exercise our faith by asking. As did Augustine's mother on behalf of her wayward boy, Augustine, we too can claim the promises of God on behalf of our children. Let me invite you today to stand with me and pray. Stand. Let's hold hands together. We're going to pray for our friends and our family. Our Heavenly Father, we come boldly before Your throne of grace. We have praise in our hearts for all the good things that You do for us. But we stand together this morning, asking that the Holy Spirit would remove the darkness that clouds the minds of our loved ones. We want to give the devil and his angels notice. Keep away from our loved ones. Father, we thank You and we praise You that Your power is greater than any power in this world. It's not by might nor by power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You and praise You that our family and our friends will respond to Your goodness. Father, we thank You that the Holy Spirit is convicting them just now, removing that veil of darkness. Remove that veil of darkness in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Let me ask you, just remain standing. Would you let me know what's happening in your family? Will you begin to pray earnestly for them, that for your family and friends, that the veil of darkness could be removed and we can share the good news of the gospel and prepare them for Jesus to come? I'm going to close with one more thought from that little book, My Life Today, page 15. It says, the very first outbreathing of the soul in the morning should be for the presence of Jesus. Without Me, He says, you can do nothing. It is Jesus that we need. His light, His life, His Spirit must be ours continually. We need Him every hour. And we should pray in the morning that as the sun illuminates the landscape and fills the world with light, so the Son of Righteousness may shine into the chambers of our minds and heart and make us all light in the Lord. We cannot do without His presence one moment. The enemy knows when we undertake to do without our Lord. He is there ready to fill our minds with His evil suggestions that we may fall from our steadfastness. But it is the desire of the Lord that from moment to moment we should abide in Him and thus be complete in Him. May God bless him. He is a good God. He is a wonderful God. We have a message to share. It is good news. It brings hope. And remember, we too can use these weapons of Scripture. Even the name of Jesus, the devil will flee. We can use the weapon of prayer. And we can use the weapon, sing songs. We will drive the devil away. May God bless us, is my desire and my prayer for each one of you. Amen.